Would someone like to move approval of the previous minutes?
So moved.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. I appreciate so many of you showing up so nice and early this morning. There's only time slot left. We're going to be kind of going through Representative Gardner's bill today. I'm not sure. I think we should be able to get through all three of them, but just giving it an airing, and I think when he's through going through, also we'll take a little testimony if there's comments that anyone has. So, Representative Gardner, if you would like to address the first bill, the solid waste policy bill.
Sure. I worked in the replacement industry for almost 10 years before coming to the state legislature, and while I extremely did the concept of solid waste management, nor do I expect it to be a bill I'm working on. It did seem that there's some additions and changes to the solid waste statute, which were really first put in place by some of the older people back in the 20s and 30s on solid waste management. So the legacy we have from open dump and the like, and amendments to the solid waste act before it was set up in 1989. And it's been tweaked a little bit after that, and it's been very successful in the solid waste. But we also have lots of opportunities still left in the solid waste field. So this bill was really an attempt to, several sections to update certain statutes, to clarify others, and to add a few that would help us deal with reducing toxicity and increase taxpayer costs and recovery. And also to meet some of our climate change goals that we'll be going out later this year, because recycling in particular is extremely effective at reducing energy and resources. So we're going to stuff the desert stuff that we're going to hopefully find in life. Since we're working group of nine for the KMA bill, I really wanted to allow other members of the legislature to see what concepts are being laid out here. I did something a little different than what I was aware of when I first turned to the law legislation. Get a bill in the hopper and do all the secrets and watch people buy some money with that. And just to look over the bill, I really wanted to engage stakeholders to see some of the potential changes to get their ideas on the technical nature of the bill. And I have to say, I've probably got some comments from 15 or 20 stakeholders saying, well, we did, and said what we have, and they asked me if we can take this out, or this is the accuracy of the work we did as well. So, I want to go through that process, and up until Thursday last night, I was speaking in the shift of language to get people to help me with what we got this time. Make some of the sections actually even more clear. So I appreciate all the work and stakeholders have done. But what I thought I'd do is maybe watch as well. I did have a handout, I don't know if there's anything way back, that actually has one page of graphic drawings from the solid waste policy report draft and the PTA on the website. Showing counting the state expenditures for solid waste, and the other draft has where I was writing maybe that's the past in the state. And you can see it. And you see the long steady progress and eventually it's flattened out over time. So some of the things in here are meant to help keep the rate there. The first section is on industrial waste. And after talking to stakeholders, even until last Friday, I'm covering this process. The idea here is to avoid having a situation with waste generators and haulers not reclassifying waste to actually automate suspecting this material. But as I said, I'm discovering that this is a good thing to get away. And my purpose manager is to get some final comments this week and then finally have a jacket and bill and save a lot of time in the community by not having to do a lot of picking to deal with that. Section 2 is on the definition of mixed municipal solid waste. The last line is deleted. It was removed the use of the term separated compostable materials from the definition of mixed municipal solid waste. The purpose here is to make sure that it's perfectly clear that such separated compostable materials are intended for compost and not now this one barrier that we would have to by digging there, one barrier composting work on section 3 is on reuse. We didn't actually have a definition of reuse in the statute. There have been a lot of really innovative materials that came from our family as you can know us. Where material is actually used for the same purpose as it was designed, but picked up by other people. There is also a need to refine food reuse. One area where there's been a lot of strife in the last 4 or 5 years, where hog farmers as well as compost sites are actually using compostable for keeping food designed for humans and using them for animal based humans and or used by humans or used by humans. And that has not really been used for the definition of death. Section 4, separate compostable materials, we're just updating it from the thing from section 2, where it's not mixing in with mixed municipal waste. And paragraph 5 in that section is really meant to do the same thing we have in the recycling statute. If you do collect it as separated compostable material, you have to make sure it stays that way. You can't throw away collected compost or separated compostable material and throw away. The statute related to that recycling, which feels that it's illegal to collect the material for recycling. Section 5 is we've had elements of product stewardship in statute, but product stewardship is really looking at asking all people who are involved in the production of disposable reuse. A certain item has to share responsibility for the cost of recycling. Best example of what we've done with this in recent years is the electronic waste bill, which passed last year. As you probably know, that bill could stop traffic. From all of America, they had electronic recycling events and they shut down a couple of days ago. They stopping traffic and in this case, the fact that product stewardship has been a means where the PTA has actually engaged stakeholders to find out the best way to really address the issue from all perspectives, the easiest way to collect material, the easiest way to take the cost of recycling or safely disposing of it. And so the principles of product stewardship are laid out here. Another reason for this is because it often takes years for all of the stakeholders to get together and actually determine what it is that they're trying to do. So I'm hoping by looking at principles out that we can actually set off a couple of years as we look at different products and having to go years of delay in trying to figure out what every part of the company is. What I'm looking for is a report from the PTA to the legislature identifying up to 3 products currently managed to solid or hazardous waste and figure out if they would qualify for a joint consensus product through the process. And I was I added some stuff in here, I'm just getting technical input from the PTA, but I did add what I might call sort of comfort language here a little bit, and -4.3 and 4.2 about the criteria by which we look at a specific product. I think there was some concern that say, hey, ballpoint pen would be one of the responsible for this. I wanted to try and get specific about the criteria we're looking at. Specifically, toxicity and e-waste was an example of that, where heavy metals and e-waste both had specific significant risk. Second was the cost of taxpayers, an example of the fund in the state, where taxpayers are paying several $1 million to their because they want to make it free to the people that are expensive to bring them over. And third, whether this type of program is successful elsewhere. There are some models out there in the provinces as well as some European countries to see how effective the numbers are. We're looking back to the numbers. So a report was penned by December 2008 and in 2009. We would ask for a report to the legislature with recommendations for establishing product stewardship approach for this appropriate product. In section 6 is on recycling, construction, demolition, and waste in state buildings. Probably can tell in this bill there's two new areas where I'm trying to promote more diversion of material away from landfills and disposal facilities. Compostable material and construction and demolition debris. Construction and demolition debris including things like drywall, waste wood, bricks, concrete, for taking down a building, any kind of demolishing building that's the waste material for that, as well as construction waste and building structures. Part of our intent with this working group is to have to take lead by example and to promote or require recycling of contaminated material from state buildings first. I am meeting with the Department of Administration today. They are getting some technical background to see if we can get a way to address this in the most cost effective and efficiently possible. So, this language that will likely change is what we took from the Department of Administration. I discovered, Madam Chair, that sometimes we don't get input on stuff and think I put out a bill with the sitting in here. I'm really pleased that people have been feeling information that really helps. Section 7, quality of character relations study. Just a couple of weight source. We've been showing it in the past years. The last time was in 1999, where people actually go out there and they tie their feet to the transfer stations and go in. So we actually sort out all the material that comes off like a truck and then you can sample and weigh it out to figure out what makes up each component of the waste. They have to say, okay, the metal is over here and makes up this percent. Plus or minus a certain standard deviation of the paper, how much is non-recycled paper, how much is recycled paper, and so on. Having good data would be really key to tell how well we've been doing education and recycling efforts to figure out what's still in which units. Originally I had that in 2009, but I didn't think that would take the appropriation in 2010 or anything. Section 8, I see a couple things that I might have to more specific sections. 9, section 8 and 9 have to deal with actual recycling goals for counties and states as a whole. Back in the late 90s, recycling goals for counties was 50% for metro area counties and 35% for Grand Minnesota counties, and exactly no age, more or less. We're not meeting them, but it's essentially from the dividing state policy goals that they've been able to certain level. Those goals haven't been changed in 1996, and as part of the Climate Change Advisory Group, there was the recommendation that they got to a higher level of recycling. The sport takes less energy, less resources, and we'll make the most out of depth. And we actually have done quite well in the world. But the rate and date that I put in here right now has been 55% of the cycling by January 2012, 50% by 2020. This is actually a statewide goal for compostable materials. And compostable material is not just your standard organic recycling rate, but also can include non-recyclable paper, for example. And, there are several cities in Hutchinson and White Zeta that are doing this very effectively. And other counties in the cities and counties here in the city that are in touch with it more. So I'm proposing a statewide goal of diverting the surface rate compostable material of 70% by 2012, 15% by 2020. Related to resource recovery facilities, these are waste energy incinerators. Most of them have what are called pump and MRFs, material recovery facilities, where magnets are usually used to extract ferrous and non-ferrous materials, such as iron in it, ferrous, magnetic, non-ferrous materials can be repelled by magnets, things like copper. And I've actually received some language from Hennepin County, which has one of these facilities that will make this a little clearer, because some materials are actually used on the back end, not just on the front end. So I want to make that a little clearer. And that essentially let folks who are planning new energy facilities that this would be an expectation in the future. Section 13, construction and demolition of waste recycling requirements. I'm looking for some tighter language here, but in the metro area, we do have capacity for recycling construction and demolition of streets, but not a lot of people use it, so I'm trying to set a goal for that here in the 7-ton metro area. I have talked to builders, and so that they'd like a lot to hear this goes, but I would like to see some feedback and stakeholders in the paper. Section 14, section 15, and section 16 all have to do with updating our volume or weight-based statutes related to solid waste. Minnesota, for residential waste collection, is a pay-as-you-throw state. Minnesota and Wisconsin are probably the only two states that have a statewide pay-as-you-throw statute that says that the more you throw away, the more you can pay. And that is supposed to incentivize recycling. commercial waste generators have been left out of this. Commercial waste is a little more complicated, but what it's simply suggesting here is that we should extend that volume of waste-based pricing to commercial waste. The idea here is that if we throw away more, then we should do that. Now, there was a lot of confusion about this. My proposal on what the existing statute says. And literally at 8:30 last night, I got some suggested language from the stakeholders that can clarify this quite well. But the idea is that if you have a business with a compactor in the back and one for garbage and one for recycling, the hauler can't say, I'll do it better than you, I'll throw it all away. I'm not implying that if you have one container and you get an additional container for recycling, that you pay them for less, you have to pay more because you have to have another there. So, I think that's some language that will clarify that for the future. Section 17, this is something that was laid out in the bill that I had last year, and I'm just going to do here. Material use for compost. A major barrier to end markets for food compost has been use of polyethylene and plastic bags, which is not considered a good compost. So what I'd be requiring here is that if you are disposing of yard waste, where you're not actually removing that bag at some point where you want to dump it out, so let's say keep it at home, that those bags have to be compostable. I've had some other language and people over the weekend clarifying a little bit about the ESPN standards. The views that the European Union actually has the standard for what is actually composted. Now, I was a little hesitant on this last year because the cost of the wood bag is higher, including the paper bag, which is composable. The folks who deal with compost have really suggested here the way we add more value to compost so that actually can help remove the potential for dusty soil and accept it. Section 18, in a previous draft, I would suggest the idea of carbon offsets for upgrading recycling infrastructure, because it takes less energy to spend less carbon to make new stuff out of old stuff. I was suggesting that we might be able to attract investment from other sectors of the economy in order to invest for the capital needed to upgrade our recycling infrastructure. But doing offsets is apparently not the way that we're trying to go in the house, and after talking to a couple of people, I was just recommending that we make this a little bit for a gift expenditure by utility transition. I know when I was in recycling, I would approach utilities about investing in certain things, and I would say, well, it sounds great, but you can show us the numbers that show that we remove the need for electricity on the grid by recycling, but unless it qualifies for itself. Subdivision 24 with processing equipment. The Solid Waste Management Coordinating Board has construction, demolition, and industrial waste study group, and one of the recommendations they have is that the observations they have is that the people who actually want to do construction waste recycling, they actually are interested in tax credit for investing in capital equipment to do that. That's one major barrier is the cost of processing equipment. And so we're creating tax to move it out. Section 20 and 21 have to do with the solid waste management tax rate. I don't actually have any numbers for what the future solid waste tax rate ought to be, but I'm giving that as a placeholder that the fund actually increased appropriation necessary. We may want to look at that. And then originally I was going to get rid of the non-mixed municipal solid waste rate, which is 50% yard of waste, and push that to the solid waste tax, which is the 1.75% of the after talking to the construction waste, demolition folks, industrial waste folks, I think that would be not the way to go, because it would essentially treat all waste as solid waste, and some material we actually have segregation in solid waste. However, those operators of non-solid waste, they express an interest in and a willingness to see that rate in order to result in a transfer appropriation to help promote recycling of construction and demolition waste. And they have feeling frustration that most of the appropriation going for that diversion happened to be for minutes to follow this step and not we actually have a huge opportunity with things like drywall, for example, to put consumer shingles, because it's out of landfill. Section 22, you wouldn't know it, but cleanup seems to be really policy reports put together by the Police Control Agency and the stakeholders over the last couple months. They have recommended that we have an option in for all telephone directories in the basis where you do not get a phone directory unless you actually ask for one. I don't want to be a guy in the field and phone the thing up and use phone directory, so I didn't really want to go that route, and I sort of knocked out. Similar to the call registry, where if you really don't want a phone book, you would be able to call a certain number or sort of website and not get a phone book. So that would be the idea of prevention activity. I have received some comments from Jack, which is a major telephone directory publisher in the region, and while they would rather not have any government involvement here because they're starting to work on their own opt-out system, I still want to see the I will note that there is a phone book respecting the statute on the book. It was really the first, PICS Act requirement. And directory publishers are supposed to let the state know how many kinds of directories are distributed and how much they've actually recycled. They need to contact the callers, they expect them to make the state to collect the stuff. And what I've discovered is that they're not really reporting at all, and the statute as written is a little bit fuzzy about how the system should work. So I'm of the understanding that some stakeholders suggesting some alternative guidance to keep up our phone directory and recycling strategies. Having said that, I don't want to spend all session working with phone books because it doesn't make a fairly small fraction of our problems. Section 23, I don't know how long that would exist because the whole directory is a model ordinance for solid waste. For county, PCA has for municipal solid waste, and there could be an additional model ordinance for county to make some corrections on the name of the shooter. Section 24, follow up on a non-MSW rate that we marked at the market development and market development and Section 26 is an appealer, and I did ask House Research, are there some solid waste statutes that are obsolete and outdated? I know we're all supposed to get reports from the state agencies today. And that's an obsolete statute, but there are some statutes related to some reasonable process of citing hazardous waste, sort of advice that's no longer relevant, and several others related to solid waste that I'm skipping certain ones. Just to learn some of the more arcane language and other information that I just said. I'm sure the past they represented that's certainly some different interested in actually reducing the number of cases and statutes that we have. And I also think that's not a bad idea. I think that's not a bad idea. You know, it shouldn't be a good issue for you. I think that. And I'm sure I would have, if you're interested, I would take about 5 minutes and do the other two, and then we'll let you do what you like. But I thought we'd just get rid of all the language first and see what you're going to do.
That would be fine, Representative Gardner. Go ahead and move into the other two bills.
The House File 2802 currently has gone to Representative Schumer. And I did a lot of positive feedback on this, and I did get some phone calls and voices that come in Friday. I got the mind was literally triggered last night, and I solved it. But the single biggest source of dioxin in the United States right now is the household burning of garbage. I have a handout here. These are quantified sources of dioxin that are used in PPA. 1995, Municipal Waste Incinerators were actually the largest source of ash division in the United States, but because of best available technology that the federal government required, Municipal Waste Incinerators and Municipal Waste Incinerators now are at the bottom of the industrial sources of dioxide. In fact, they're burning at the top. It's one of those kind of non-force pollution sources where people burn vinyl and chlorinated paper. When burned at 500 degrees in the left, it actually going to result in the creation of dioxins as well as urine. And on the flip side of that, I think about you can see that 1 pound of municipal solid waste burned in an open barrel or an open pit emits as much dioxin as 1 pound of municipal solid waste burned in a modern waste energy facility. It's a lightened up level of the building so that they will take the waste energy facility. I wanted to say that the Pollution Control Agency has done an excellent job of educating public and counties and law enforcement about what the existing statutes are related to backyard burning, and they've also done an excellent job of putting up health checks when they act as an act after any burn barrel. He's actually looking at the date there. But now I've been promoting the idea that it's time to really close the exemptions that have been in place, which allow some on-site delivery solid waste burning. And this is why it's in the agriculture committee, farmers disposal solid waste statute. Farmers can actually burn household waste, and the language that was received over the weekend would actually clarify that if you really, 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 really can't get garbage service, that you still probably be able to do it. But it makes it a little less fuzzy than it is now, where you can say, well, I don't have service, so I can just bring it. And then on the section 2 of this bill, we're burning on-site burning solid waste. And then the third bill is House File 2777. If you look at your garbage bill, you take solid waste management back. At home, it's 9.75%. At work, it's 17%. Plus the non-municipal solid waste fees that are paid to the TPA, which is the state. 70% of those dollars go to the environmental fund now, and 30% go to the general fund, and 30% of the money in the general fund never leaves the general fund. This is not a shift like some of the other taxes and fees that have been put in place in recent years. It's just never within there. The intention is that 30% of the general fund would support other state activities related to waste, but it hasn't really turned out that way. So what I'm proposing, and this is significantly recommended to the committee is that we just simply dedicate all of the solid waste management tax and put it towards the environmental fund, and then I have some suggestions for where we might put it. Well, I'm pretty good in this point. I don't have to do this bill because we are in a deficit situation, but I do want to continue making the point that we could make a big contribution to reducing carbon emissions as well as reducing our future environmental liability and land disposal by extracting and reducing the conflict in more ways. And we could do that if we land funds. And the other part of this handout, there's a bar graph actually shows the state and the county's contribution towards the solid waste expenditures. And you can see if the coloring worked out, that the overall spending on solid waste and recycling has gone up, and the state share has really made flat or gone down. So, there you have it.
Thank you, Representative Gardner, for all of your work in putting these together. Obviously, there's a lot of interest in this, at least on that side. So, I first will ask, going back to the first bill, the main bill that was introduced, Do we have questions on that? Representative Hortman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Representative Gardner.
Good morning.
On Section 18, you made a comment about that the solid waste reduction activities, you don't think that with the approach for taking a cap and trade in the House this year, that those would be eligible to count as offsets, and I was just wondering if you could, did I catch that right?
In talking with several of the key people who are likely to forward our climate change legislation to the legislature, and the idea of offsets from one sector to another was not the result. The idea being that a little bit like indulgence, you can pay off your guilt by picking up and someone else to essentially cover your pollution and all that. I'm open to the idea of offset, but I also realize that this is probably going to be wrapped up. I had it in there with the larger climate change bill, and I think my chances there are going to be
Madam Chair.
Yes,
Representative Gardner, I believe that it's not like indulgences, and I hope that maybe you will join with me in trying to expand the vision for that cap trade and auction bill as it moves through the process, because the idea of having a multi-sector approach to reducing carbon dioxide emissions is that then everybody goes to the low-hanging fruit. In other words, where it's cheapest to reduce carbon dioxide emissions is where we would do it first. And I think perhaps some of the reductions that we can get in carbon dioxide emissions from recycling are some of the lowest of the low-hanging fruit. And I don't mind if Xcel reduces carbon dioxide by buying offset credits from waste management or fluorescent light bulb recycling companies, as long as we're reducing the overall amount of carbon dioxide. So, and then in my other interest is in seeing offsets in the transit sector be available for purchase to people in the power sector, because it could be that the cheapest way for us to reduce carbon dioxide emissions is outside of the main sector, which everybody focuses on, which is power. So I'll be looking for ways to insert your idea into the cap trade and auction bill as it that moves forward.
I'm sure that I would appreciate that. Actually, one reason I was taking a sip is because the gas sector is working. One way to actually reduce our natural gas consumption in some ways is by doing a better job at glass recycling. Because once you have broken glass and recycling systems with colors mixed together, it doesn't get to the core used glass. And you actually get a lot of benefit in reducing natural gas consumption instead of just painting glass from the shop and using more color for the glass. But there's a machine that will sort it all out. I'm on the energy committee here, and I'll look forward to having a discussion with people on how to work with that. It was actually well received by a lot of the stakeholders, the idea of an offset. But I think for lack of really going down and have some reason to do it.
Are there any other questions? Any further questions?
I have a question on the burning bill. I'm wondering, for those of us who sometimes burn wood in our backyards, in those things that we're probably not supposed to have, those little, copper tray things, is that captured in the wood combustion category of your chart? Or when I trim my lilac bushes and then I let the branches dry for 6 months and then I burn them, am I in the backyard burning category?
I would have to refer to Commissioner Troy to see the kind of chair of the enforcement to how you classify that.
I'm just curious, when you looked at putting the bill together, banning the...
I would not call it garbage.
I just wonder if there's some guidelines. I know it's starting to be an issue of significant controversy in cities where, one neighbor's not that wild about the other neighbor having a fire because the smoke goes into their house or whatever. And so then there started to be this discussion, at least in my neighborhood in Brooklyn Park, about the issue of dioxin, and people really want to know, like, what should we be burning, if anything? Can we burn a couple of logs every now and then in the backyard and cook marshmallows, or is that really environmentally horrible?
Representative Hortman, I believe that, I don't have all the language down exactly, but with the burn barrel standard so far, it's, as long as the wood waste is not painted or treated, if it's untreated waste, it's, you know, wood waste, it would not be considered, you know, solid waste, and you could burn that with a permit when the ground is a snow cover. Over
and out. Foreclosure crisis is hit home. The guy who bought the house in Missouri during the foreclosure, he was inside of how to college students when they have an open burning pit in their backyard. And so I did actually look up the city ordinance and the state statute for the open burning. It was shorter, it was something like a 3x3 foot area, so if it gets any higher than that, then I can call it. But it is actually based on the state statute. It actually first had to take that blue one related to
Are there any further questions? At this time, I would just like to open this up and see if there are any other questions from some of the stakeholders that have not contacted Representative Gardner yet. But is there anyone that would like to comment, perhaps on the burn barrel issue? Yes.
Chair, I just want to reiterate that the, you know, my purpose in airing this out and working with this to avoid what often happens in the committee with good comments come from stakeholders and members, and that's often the interest of the students where people say, look, it's clear, it's mixed up, and I don't want to do that. I want to make sure the technical issues all work out before I actually speak in the office.
Yeah.
I've done that the opposite way last year, but it's not as complicated.
With that in mind, I believe Commissioner Reinhart.
I will try to speak up. I'm also a member of the National Association of Counties. I'm chair of the Air Quality Subcommittee. And so I have worked in this area and worked with many of the people, Representative Gardner, on environmental issues for many years. And I can tell you that the Association of Minnesota Counties, Solid Waste Management Coordinating Board, and other environmental entities at the county level.
Mr. Reinhart, I'm just going to break in here, and since we don't have a microphone and there are more people out there than here, I guess we do have a microphone. I'm going to have to move to the end of the table, but... Okay. We won't make you start all over again, but we want to make sure everyone can hear.
She opened the
It's early.
Yeah.
Well, and most of what I've said so far is my background, and I think many of the people in the audience also know that I have an extensive background in the environmental field, specifically in solid waste management and recycling and toxicity reduction. And I can tell you that from especially the Association of Minnesota Counties, and Emily Garlitz is here to speak as well, we're very supportive of the recycling goals that are included, the funding, and trying to get more money into from the solid waste management tax into what we believe its intended purpose was, and that is to abate garbage from landfills and to protect our environment, and also for removing the or eliminating as much as we can of the dioxin from open burning. With that said, we're really very, very supportive of those goals, but we also have some concerns and, quite frankly, feel like we need a little more time to try to figure out how we can best do that, with especially considering the additional burden on counties and the additional costs, because as we move up, especially in the recycling goal area, there is an additional cost that we, as you could see from the chart that was presented, more and more is falling to the local property taxpayers, and if we don't have increased funding to go along with the more expensive items as far as getting them out of the waste stream, we are very concerned that it will end up being on local property taxpayers. In fact, we're quite convinced that it would end up being on the local property taxpayers. And so I think that there are some ways within the solid waste management tax that is, as was noted, we're in a deficit position right now, so I'm not sure how that would work out as well. So there are just a number of questions that we really feel like we need to have a little more time to work through within the bills, but we're grateful that there is something out there that this is being discussed, because all of these issues are critically important to the environment. So I don't have a lot of detailed information. I didn't get copies of the bill until late on Friday, and clearly we did not have a chance to, at this point anyhow, to talk a great deal with the solid waste administrators or county commissioners from across the state. That's not meant to be a criticism, because we know just how quickly you're going to have to move this year. So we are supportive of the goals, are concerned about the funding, and concerned about the implementation and its impact on counties right now.
Thank you, Commissioner Reinhart. Representative Scalzi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Commissioner Reinhart, is especially in the area of product stewardship, which was Section 5 of the bill that we're looking at today, on page 3. And I'm wondering, I've learned a lot about local impact notes this year, which are at present time requested by the chair of the tax committee or the ranking minority member, and that's the only ones that can request local impact notes. And I'm wondering if you see something in this product stewardship, as we've seen in the past with the e-waste bill, maybe you could comment on if you see something there that would impact local governments, especially counties. And maybe there would be a need to quantify that before we move forward.
Mr. Reinhart.
Thank you. I'm trying to find exactly what you're talking about. Can you tell me which line it's on?
Well, I'm looking at, for instance, line 3.33, where it says government provides leadership in product stewardship and all its activities. And I guess I don't know exactly which line I'm concerned about. I always think that when we do things like this, it sort of passes to the counties. And I'm thinking of e-waste, because that has sort of passed to the counties. And maybe you'd like to comment, Representative Gardner.
Madam Chair, Representative Scalzi, the product stewardship language is actually there to help take costs off of local property taxes. And Commissioner Reinhart's involved in a national product stewardship dialogue and management scheme, which is a significant financial burden to taxpayers, so we want to keep it out of the waste stream, so it's usually free. So the idea here is that we would actually reduce costs to the local. But government would actually say, all right, let's get organized.
Madam Chair? And that's what I'm getting at, is when the government leads, how does that impact the cost to the local taxpayers, the leading of the charge and the coordinating of it?
Well, Madam Chair, the potential leaders are in the back of the room who are very anxious to help take the burden off the local taxpayers. Even the state agency and all their networks nationally, there's a lot of stakeholders related to certain industries. They're just looking forward to helping organize that, and they do it very well.
But yeah, that would be state leadership as opposed to the county definitely as well.
Mr. Reinhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Scott. The example of the Product Stewardship Initiative that I am involved with, Minnesota has been chosen as the demonstration project state by the National Paint and Coatings Association, and we've been having meetings with stakeholders. And one of the things that we did talk about there was trying to take the onus off of local property taxpayers to cover the cost of leftover paint, which is millions of dollars a year, and talked about partnerships with manufacturers, and in fact we've been able to work that through. That was done through leadership from especially the state pollution control agency. And so I think that that would be an example of taking the burden off of local government. And but it is manufacturer responsibility, which is again very similar to electronics. But we do need that leadership at the state in order to be able to do that. So if that is the intention of this, I know that we would wholeheartedly support that.
Thank you. Any additional comments or questions? Thank you, Mr. Reinhart.
Maybe you have another. Madam Chair, I just have one other comment. I don't think I actually yell at representatives. For the record.
Okay, so suggestion.
Thank you.
Audible suggestion. Thank you. Are there others that wish to comment on this? Okay, anyone else on this? Annalise? No? Okay. And I think that we are still, you know, waiting for additional feedback, particularly from rural counties. I know I've been hearing, you know, from various folks out there on both sides of that in rural areas. And I think there still is that matter of logistics to look at. So it will be important to get that feedback from all those folks. As if, you know, what has changed in the rural areas, has our infrastructure caught up in some places at any rate to allow for the collection of solid waste, which perhaps wasn't available several years ago. So we will continue to look into this, and I know the burn barrel issue is one that is contentious in some areas. Yeah. Representative Osman?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to compliment Mr. Gardner on his development of this legislation. I think that your expertise is very exciting to see come into the legislature and get involved in this area. I do want to pass on a little secret that you know, over the years I don't want to lose as I'm leaving the legislature, but the people behind you is really an example of what we have lovingly referred to in the private sectors of the legislature as the rubble rousers. So when you get the rubble rousers really raised up and you know that you got some problems, and if you can get them to work together, you can just create a lot of tremendous policies for the state of Minnesota.
Thank you, Representative Osmond. And I, too, would like to comment. Thank you all for showing up, you know, 8 o'clock on what is supposed to be a holiday. We really appreciate it. And I can see that, you know, what this tells me is there really is an interest in looking at some of our solid waste issues. I think there are a lot of times other legislators and other folks just don't think that it's an important issue, but I can see by the attendance today that it's certainly important to a number of you folks, and you represent a great many other people as well. So thank you for taking the time and effort to come out today and attend this hearing. And we appreciate the fact that you are taking notes, and we'll be getting back to No. And we'll be getting back to Representative Gardner. Yes, yeah, Representative Gardner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want Chris Raddatz with Minnesota Farm Bureau, Public Policy Director, and I did speak with Representative Gardner on Friday about the burning ban bill, which just some brief comments, and I think it's, you kind of mentioned it, the logistics We just want to make sure there's an alternative there in some parts of the state. I know my brother has a dairy farm in Winona County, and I think he's had a dumpster for about 10 years now, but in other parts of the state, it's not available, and that's what our concern is, a two-year sunset on that provision. Is there alternatives there for farmers? So we'll continue to work with the author to make sure that we have those alternatives before we eliminate something.
Thank you, Mr. Bennett. Any additional comments or questions?
I was just going to say, Madam Chair, there are some other waste-related bills moving through, particularly the Energy Committee and the Environmental Finance Committee related to waste energy. So I just didn't want to say that this is the only solid waste bill
right
out there. So I know that people are monitoring those as well.
Thank you, Representative Gardner. Yes, and additional bills do tend to surface from time to time, as people are probably familiar with. I wanted to give everyone the opportunity to read over the bill, to make comments, and to get those back to us and to other legislators. So at this point, if there are no further questions on these bills, I will say that we are meeting again this Friday, and we will be taking up the matter of recycling and energy resource conservation here in the State Capitol building, most particularly the State Office building and the Capitol building itself. So we should have some interesting reports back at that point that will move us in a direction of setting a good example here at the state level. So I don't know how many of you are interested in that as well. I imagine there'll be a few faces returning on Friday. But thank you all, and thank you, Representative Gardner, for making this available for us today to comment on, and thank you for all your work so far on this. Meeting is adjourned.